go to John 4. This is the woman at the well, the Samaritan. Let's go in verse 19. The woman said unto him, Sir, I perceive that thou art a prophet. Our fathers worshipped in this mountain, and you say that in Jerusalem is a place where men ought to worship. She's saying, you say, because he's a Jew. Remember that the deal, they set up a separate temple in Samaria, and it's still gone, by the way. Still doing the sacrifices. There's another one in Jerusalem, and that was a constant conflict, and the Jews say, she's saying the Jews say you should worship in Jerusalem. Jesus said unto her, Woman, believe me, the hour cometh when you shall neither work in this mountain nor yet at Jerusalem worship the Father. You worship, you know not what. We know what we worship, for salvation is of the Jews. But the hour cometh, and now is, when the true worshippers shall worship the Father in spirit and in truth. For the Father seeketh such to worship him. God is a spirit, and they that worship him must worship him in spirit and in truth. Now, what does that mean? What does it mean to worship him in spirit and in truth? Anybody have any ideas? Well, there are too many instances in the scripture where, in my opinion, it has something to do with a peace offering.
Too many?
Yeah. Let's go to the first one.
Too many to not draw the
conclusion.
Yeah. You all know the Luke 24 one. When they ate with Luke and Cleopas, broke bread together, he vanished out of their sight. The moment he vanished from their sight, then they worship in spirit. If you worship in spirit, that means there's only the only place spirit exists per se is eternity. Now, you understand that? I don't want to make your brain hurt, but this idea that the spirit world is our friend, and that's horseshit. That's not the spirit world, that's the time-dependent world of its spirit, in that we don't have any other language for it. It's spirit because it's the evil spirit. Anybody see what I'm trying to say?
I think so.
All right.
I mean, it's like there's two spirit worlds. There's
supernatural
world
and now.
There's supernatural spiritual
yeah,
world.
Supernatural.
And there's the supernatural world of the spirits, and that's just these, you know, that's just, all that is these boring little kingdom of Lucifers that are running around.
Spirit and time.
They're the guys that ate both of the tree of knowledge and the tree of life. And they got spiritualized. The world was destroyed. There's a bunch of little twerps running around. But they're meaningless to us.
So there's the real spiritual world, and that's just kind of like a fake spiritual world.
Well, I don't. It's the world of the soul. It's the spirit. It's spiritual soul.
And if you want to give yourself over to it, things
spiritual bottom feeder.
Sure. You. There's. You know. Remember, there are three ways you get. You get to live in that world. First is by illicit drugs.
Illicit drugs, rock music.
First is illicit drugs. Second is illicit sex. And third is a willingness, a desire to enter it, to worship it. You have to give over your will to enter that.
Some kind of power.
Yeah. And the mystery is the Antichrist's power comes from that world. And the Antichrist power is based that's why there's all, you know, all kinds of weird stuff. You know, you can do spirits, you can do sideshow stuff. You can make everybody laugh. You can make everybody fall down. You can cause everybody to cry. You can cause everybody to speak in tongues. You can cause everybody to raise their hands in a liturgical movement. But you can't enter spirit. And that's not spirit. The charismatic movement for years is called spirit. It's not spirit.
That's why it's such a tremendous deception, because there are so many who are totally convinced that's Yahweh.
Sure. But it's but if they had any type or level of sophistication, they'd see everything they're doing is being done in other parts of the world to other gods. So there's no, you know, it's no big thing. Or if you're a good enough speaker or a good enough hypnotist, good enough at suggestion or whatever, a musician, you can do the same thing.
I was thinking today about when I went down to the Republican Convention that year that it was here, you know.
Same thing.
And Reagan walked up on that stage, man, it was like nothing I'd ever experienced before.
Same
like
thing.
Mass power was happening. Because I was right down there on the floor with it.
And these guys that tap into that, then they have, that's their food. They have to feed on that feeling. It has nothing to do with anything, except as an instrument of deception.
It's going to get tilted, isn't it?
Oh, it's going to get tilted. It's going to get Benny Hannon. It's going to get...
Yeah, that was my intoxication all through the rock and roll time.
Right. And then you want to do the same thing with God.
Right.
And it's... But... I mean... The only reason God had me travel all over the world into these weird God-forsaken places, and I had to get, like, with headhunters and shit, is because I saw all this stuff in other cultures that didn't know anything to do with God.
Yeah.
So what? So that hasn't God stuff. I mean, any more than, as I remember I told you, that wasn't any more, your Bible college wasn't any more God stuff than the drug users?
You don't think I believe that, do you? I know you believe it.
Yeah, I know you believe it now. You didn't then.
I did. I had a little trouble.
But we must be about worshiping Him in spirit and in truth. Not worshiping in this world of the soul. God didn't give a shit about that. I read a speech I gave a long time ago about the way you know something's from the spirit or from the soul. It just made me sick. I mean, it was so childish. I thought I was so spiritual. But it was right. I mean, it was right. But it was only theory right. I mean, it wasn't lived right. You know what I mean?
You knew it before it was worked out in you.
Yeah. And it's still right, and it probably would, if it would probably blow people's minds if we ever got to publish something. But it just made me kind of ill because it was so stupid. I mean, because it was untested. So what is worship in spirit? All we've done is we found a whole lot of stuff out what worship isn't. We find out a whole lot of stuff in our whole life thus far what praise and worship aren't.
Have you noticed that the Socratic method doesn't work very well with us?
It never worked with anybody. Yes. But it never worked with anybody. Of anything of value.
I don't even know what the Socratic method is.
Or you teach by asking questions.
I like this method.
Well, to what does it mean to worship? And they, let's read it again, since we got... The hour cometh and now is when those true worshipers shall worship the Father in spirit and in truth, for the Father seeketh such to worship Him. God is a spirit, and they that worship Him must worship Him in spirit and in truth.
So this This is a peace offering. There's a thing.
We haven't gotten there yet. We'll see it. We're about to.
You said it a minute ago, but now
if freaking frack would stop fooling around with your hands, we could.
Okay, now watch. Let's go on. The woman saith unto him, I know that Messiah cometh, which is called Christ. When he is come, he will tell us all things. And Jesus saith unto her, I that speaketh unto thee am. Doesn't say he. What he said, when the Greek, that you do this weird stuff, but the way it would come out in our mind is, I am that speaketh unto thee. Now, let's see what happens. What's the first thing that happens after this? And upon this came his disciples. Luke.
Hey, Jesus, what you
doing? Really good disciples came upon this. Why did they marvel? They marvel because, first of all, they heard him say this stuff. I mean, what the hell is he talking about now?
He's talking to a Samaritan.
And the other thing is, he's talking to a Samaritan.
And did he drink water she gave him?
Yeah.
Ugh. A clay.
And upon this came his disciples and marveled that he talked with the woman. Yet no man said, why seekest thou? What seekest thou? Or why talkest thou with her? The woman then left her water pot and went her way into the city and saith to the men, come see a man which told me all things that I ever did. Is not this the Christ? And they went out of the city and came unto him. In the meanwhile, his disciples prayed him, saying, Master, eat. But he said unto them, I have food to eat that you know not of. Hmm. I don't think it's any accident that to worship him in spirit and truth came. And then, I have food to eat that you know not of, Cain. Now, we don't have to go through Luke 24. I mean, everybody knows that, right? About Cleophas and Luke were on the way to Emmaus. And they marvel, da-di-da-di-da. And then he says they constrained him. He was going to go away. They constrained him, and they brought him in. He ate with them. Broke bread together, and their eyes were opened, and he vanished. Boom. Couldn't say. The word has no possible meaning that he left, he walked out the door. He vanished. Okay?
Was he at this time eating because the woman and others of the Samaritans were hearing?
No, he was eating so you could understand this.
Huh?
He ate so you could understand this. He didn't eat anything. Go on. I'll show you. I have meat to eat that you know not of. Therefore said the disciples one to another, somebody bring him some food. Has he been eating with the woman? Jesus said unto them, my food is to do the will of him that sent me and to finish his work.
The answer to the question is yes.
Huh?
The answer to my question is yes.
What was your question?
He was eating in that he was talking with the woman and the other Samaritans and some of them. He was doing the will of his father.
Okay, let's go to 2 Corinthians 5. Verse 14. For the love of Christ constraineth us, because we thus judge that if one died for all, then we're all dead. And that he died for all, that they which live should not henceforth live unto themselves, but unto him which died for them and rose again. Wherefore henceforth know we no man after the flesh. Yea, though we have known Christ after the flesh, yet now henceforth know we him no more. Once we no longer know him after the flesh, and we're sustained by the peace offering, not by the perception.
Where are we?
Wherefore henceforth know we no man after the flesh. Yea, though we have known Christ after the flesh, yet now henceforth know we him no more. It's one of the least studied scriptures in the Bible, by the way. Therefore, if any man be in Christ, he is a new creature. Old things are passed away. Behold, all things are become new. And all things are of God. who hath reconciled us to himself by Jesus Christ, and hath given us to us the ministry of reconciliation. All right. Everybody understand the relationship between that peace offering?
So to worship in the Spirit is to no longer see anything in the flesh, because you, God or Christ or anything. Because
you see it all equal.
You have
the aspect here.
Ideas or something.
This is the crucial issue. In order to worship God in spirit, you must see everything that you can sense with the senses equally. Everybody understand a little bit?
Yeah, you can't do that on, just by your own self. Mm-hmm. God doesn't cause that to happen. You just don't do it. I was thinking when that Luke 24 thing where it's like he caused their ears to be open so that they could hear.
But only after they constrained him that he was going to go away.
Yeah. They're very constrained. I'm going to get a different Bible.
Yeah, it makes you crazy. So I don't think you understand the implications of what I just said. To worship him in spirit and in truth. The reason you haven't been able to worship him in spirit and in truth is because something else has sustained you. You've been eating in other altars. And where you've gotten your sustenance and purpose from is people's response to you. Whether they like you or not, or your work, or even your Christian work, or anything. You've gotten response from movies, from sports, from anything. And therefore you've been eating it at the altar of all of these other places. So therefore you haven't been able to eat at the altar that's in eternity. Therefore, you haven't been able to worship in spirit because you're in competition with, because your mind judges that some things are good spirit and some things are bad, and are good flesh or good senses, and you can't get there from here. The cherubim has the swords down. There's whirling. You can't get to the altar. You can't worship him in spirit. This is big time. This is really, really important. I feel like I'm talking to the ceiling again.
Well, something happened. Just like it's like the edge is right there, because I know how long I've been eating off your flesh and other people's flesh, and I know that's tired. I can't do that anymore. And I know there's something. It's like it's right there.
Okay.
I can feel things in here scrambling, trying to put a wall down, saying we're not going to hear this. We're not going to hear
I can feel these.
This like one squirming.
This one will kill you. This one of all things that we've ever caught will kill you. More than anything else.
I suddenly feel like I need to change my whole life.
You just need to change this. Doesn't require any changes in anything except how you respond to the world. Let's take a break. This is, I can feel people's heads hurting. The reason I stopped is that there was no understanding. The best way to understand this is to understand, to worship him in spirit and truth, you must see the seat of jealousy. It's talking about Ezekiel. And you must begin to understand that God is dealing in a realm that maybe you haven't even touched on yet. And the realm, I've tried to talk to you a whole bunch of times about how every man is religious. You worship, by definition, what sustains you. And you, if you will, anti-worship what makes you upset. So in effect, you worship what you think is good, and you
curse
what you think is bad. And that, but that's not what God is saying. And that's not, that means by definition that you still have the remnants of the fruit of the knowledge of the tree of knowledge of good and evil that are sustaining you. That's the meaning of the fall. Because then they were able to eat of the fruit. Instead of eating at the peace offering, they ate from the illegal. The peace offering and the tree of life are the same thing in a very real sense. The tree of life has all manner of fruit. You know, it talks about Revelation. It bears. Let's look at that real quick.
So the fall caused them to be able to find sustenance in just anything.
Right. It's all of the inventions of man for which you find sustenance, and all of the stuff of man that you don't like that you think is cursed.
Well, that's a little scary in light of that which is highly esteemed among men as an abomination to God. Are we calling the things cursed that God says are?
Oh,
we're not diametrically opposed to God.
Yeah, everything that man does that is not of the peace offering is not just, as we were saying, it's not just against God, it is exactly opposed to God. No matter what name you put on it. This is a big step. This is like the biggie. This is the gap that no man could cross. This is the place where Lazarus was speaking from in Abraham's bosom. And this is...
This is like impossible for a man to hear.
Yeah. Alone, all that one can do is snack at the peace offering.
Eat crumbs off the peace offering.
The peace offering has to be eaten by at least a minion. And this will be even harder to hear. By definition, the peace offering is the wedding supper. Hmm. It's the last offering given during the day. And therefore, it's the last offering to be apprehended. And when he vanishes out of your sight, then time ends. Now, do you understand how many things have sustained you in giving you sustenance and satisfaction? Anything that has either sustained you and given you satisfaction, curse isn't the right word. There's the negative of the sustaining, which also sustains.
You're worshiping.
In other words, you can gain sustenance and satisfaction from the negative as well as the positive.
From sustaining something. Right?
Yeah. You can gain power from hate, from hating something, and sustenance just as much as you can get power in life from liking something.
Like looking down on
judgments.
So, there's a word, there's probably in here somewhere, but I don't know what it is, for what that aspect is. But in order to eat the peace offering, you have to see that all of the tables are equally full of vomit, and there is no place clean. In other words, there is no thing that is any better than any other thing, or that is any worse than any other thing, in all of time and space, including Satan himself.
everything's defined in time and space.
It's the same. You must see time and space defile in the same way as leprous so that you can see that it's clean. But as long as you are, in your mind, judging things in time and space as good or bad, or this is better than that, then for you, the universe is leprous, and so there's no place clean.
Because there's no end.
Yeah. Now, remember the thing in Hebrews we've been studying in the morning about? We have an altar for which they that serve the earthly aspects have no right to eat. That's not kidding. We have food to eat that they know not of. Anybody that is serving any aspect of the earth, of earthly things. I don't care whether it's evangelism or worship or, I mean, it doesn't matter. It doesn't matter whether they think it's religious or not. Because they, any time that you are judging one thing better or worse than any other thing, then that there's no way God will not permit you to eat at this altar. You will, the altar, by definition, you understand me, is the table of the Lord. In this parable, the purpose of time and space is that God wants some guys to eat with him. He can't get there if all is vanity of vanity, all is vanity, then there is no vanity that's better than another vanity. And there's no vanity that's worse than another vanity. To apprehend the peace offering, you lose the right to ever again have a bad day. You lose the right to ever again to be in a bad mood. You lose the right to ever again have anyone affect you, whether you are happy or sad. Because you are seeking only, and first and foremost, and only the kingdom of God and His righteousness, and none of your own. And the test of that is this, how you respond to stimuli. That's the way God made us. Now, can you see why there's been a famine in the land in the days of Messiah? That the stars have stopped giving their light? The moon and the sun have stopped giving their brilliance. We no longer need the stars or the sun or the moon. We no longer need anything to give us satisfaction and sustenance. Because we will eat at the table of the Lord. And it's not, what's been going on has nothing to do with what it looks like. It doesn't matter whether it's Eddie and drugs, or somebody on stupid trip, or Michelle doing shit. All that's happening is God is winnowing, shaking. Remember that it has to do with the tunipah, the wave offering of Pentecost. It's the only time the peace offering is commanded. It has to do with there is no one that will remain that will not be able to eat of the peace offering. That's why I said months ago, I don't care if it's five people that are left. So that's why I get so upset if you are in any way trying to make clean what God has declared unclean, or try to declare unclean that which God has declared clean. When you are keeping out those that should be brought in, and bringing in those that should be kicked the fuck out. Now this is what I believe it was Paul that was talking about in Hebrews 6. He said we must get beyond the first principles of the doctrine of Christ. Everything up to the point of the peace offering are the first principles of the doctrine. In other words, the mystery hasn't even started. That's why you can't. Remember, I am the way, the truth, and the life. That until you understand that means from the door of the tabernacle to the Holy of Holies, that's what he's talking about. He's not talking about wandering around the world. All that's in the world is vanity, and you can't get to the door of the tabernacle until you perceive that all is equally vain. Once you do, then you're at the door automatically. But he's not your guide out in the fucking world. You don't even see it until you get to the door. That's why the peace offering is slain at the door. Am I causing anybody's head to hurt? Or a little bit, or understand? Or
I think I understand.
There's no way you, as of tonight, you have lost the right to be upset at anything. Or to be concerned about anything. Or to have a good day or a bad day. They're immaterial.
If there's such a thing going on, that's just a sign you've left the faith.
It means you've left the door. It means you've left the peace offering. It means you're eating at another table.
Speaking of the world.
Think about the peace offering slain at the door. That kind of got me.
Yeah, every other offering is slain somewhere else.
And that's where the journey begins. And it doesn't go back the other way. Peace offering on into the Holy Ghost.
So the peace offering is only, the apprehension of the peace offering from God's standpoint is the beginning.
Yeah.
Yeah, was it the door into the holy place? Or was it the door,
no, the door into
the door
to the
court itself? Or?
To the court. To the, yeah. It was the, in the wilderness, which is a better type than the building, it was the door to the curtain. Because that, it was inside the linen, because everything that was outside was just the mixed multitude. That was sort of, what the hell's going on over there? Like, they didn't leave. That's why we had this big deal with Rex last night. I think he understood something for the first time, that knowledge is not knowing something. Knowledge is being something. It's epicnosis mixed with. So, that's where the start of this is now. Now, remember, none of this can be seen or apprehended until, I mean, you don't have to know all this stuff, I mean, because those are just parables, but until the trespass offering has been made, the sin offering has been made, until the ashes of the red heifer have been apprehended, you know, until the turtle dove stuff, until the, until all the waters of purification have fallen.
The peace offering, is it the first or the last to be made?
It's the last in the day to be made.
And last in apprehension.
That's why it's the last in apprehension, because it's the last in the day, so it's the last in the...
I always had something like the first one to be made, last to be apprehended, or I thought there was...
No, that's
you're
the...
You're talking about the order.
You're talking about the order in, of the offerings and the...
Burnt offering.
Which it's discussed.
It's in the order in which it's discussed in the book of Leviticus. Oh. And the order...
Like the burnt offering is...
But
happens further on into the thing, but yeah. Not necessarily...
You won't... The burnt offering doesn't mean a damn thing to you. The burnt offering's for God. You can't partake of the burnt offering. You can't be sustained by the burnt offering. You can't even be sustained by the... Well, you can if you're a priest, but the priest, you can't be sustained by the meal offering. The only one that sustains everybody, when the priest's children, the offerer's children, God, all partake of, is the peace offering. It's like the blood in Egypt. It didn't do it, I mean... People inside the thing never saw the blood.
Mm-hmm.
The blood didn't do this. The blood was for God.
Okay.
It's like the gospel isn't good news to man. The gospel is terrible news. The gospel is good news to God. Somebody see a little bit?
Yes. Yeah, I mean, we've known that we don't have a right to what you said, you know, but to tie it in with the eating aspect of it. There's something wild about eating.
Anybody have any questions?
I was thinking about the woman there in John 4. It's like the reason that Christ chose to reveal himself to her is like she was already at that place. I think of seeing that all the tables were full of vomit. I mean, she wouldn't have said that, said it that way, but she was at a place of, you know, she knew everything was vain. And so when he said about the water, she said, you know, it was just, it was a simple thing. Because she knew she was thirsty. She said, give me the drink. Or give me some of that water. It was like an interesting contrast with the disciples who were all analytical about it. Obviously, have other food.
I don't know if this has anything to do with anything, but I keep having this feeling of a man who's in water up just above his shoulders. And it's like, I've been a hand, I've been a foot, I've been identifying with a hand, a foot, a knee. It's all underwater. I mean, it's all one body, but the head's above the water. The head's out of the water. And I feel like I've identified with the head or something. It's like the body's still underwater, still in time and space, but the head is...
That's why we have to start looking at life from the viewpoint of God. Not from the viewpoint of man. We have to look from the top down in that parable, not from the bottom up. I mean, there's all these great, incredible scriptures like, you know, if you know that he hears you, then you've already got what you've asked for. How does that mean if you don't understand this? You're seated with him in the heavenlies. What does that mean? You know, it's just some religious horseshit. He put forth the form of a hand and took me by the lock of mine head, and the Spirit lifted me up between the earth and the heaven and brought me in the visions of God to Jerusalem, to the door of the inner gate that looketh toward the north, where was the seat of the image of jealousy, which provoketh to jealousy.
Peace offering?
No, this is the inner
door.
One. This is the inner one. I'm saying that's where we're looking. And behold, the glory of the God of Israel was there, according to the vision that I saw on the plain. And then he said unto me, Son of man, lift up thine eyes now the way toward the north. So I lifted up mine eyes the way toward the north, and behold, northward, at the gate of the altar, this image of jealousy is in the entry. And he said furthermore unto me, Son of man, seest thou what they do? Even the great abominations that the house of Israel committeth here, that I should go far off from my sanctuary. But turn thee yet again, and thou shalt see greater abominations. And if you'll remember, what he does is he shows us the reason you're eating at all these other places is because he said unto me, Son of man, hast thou seen what the ancients of the house of Israel do in the dark, every man in the chambers of his own imagery? For they say, the Lord seeth us not, the Lord hath forsaken the earth. So that's, we believe, and that, don't you understand, it has to be, if we think that any part of it is forsaken, or any part of it is blessed, then we can't eat at the altar, we can't eat, it's all.
Well, it's what it works by, if you think part of it is worth getting sustenance from, then you have to see that none of it is.
Or
if you, you know.
Vice versa.
But it's the same. It's parallel to the leprosy thing. Because if you think that there's anything that's not leprous,
then you're leprous.
Then you're leprous.
Then you're unclean. That's what I just said.
Yeah. Well, yeah.
What do you mean to say?
He missed that part. He was in the bathroom.
It's almost like there's an instinct in man, as strong as survival, to not hear this, but to continue to judge if it's like that.
It's called the evil one.
Yeah. And that's all he wants to do.
Wants to be his own God. Choose his own table.
And so like Jesus said, abandon.
Take no thought.
It's just like Jesus said.
Well, the peace offering, the word is shelem. And we've studied this before, even with the announce, but it has to be, except for the that point at the Feast of Pentecost, it has to be voluntary. In other words, it was required at the feast in order to make the feast be what it was supposed to be. This is the food. This is the real empowerment of the Feast of Pentecost. That's what you need to understand. It isn't some outward manifestation. It's this bread to eat, this food to eat that no one else knows about.
Is this what Melchizedek fed Abraham?
Amen. Now, the word also means to be safe in mind and body and your estate, to be completed, to be at perfect peace, to be perfect. That's the fruit of eating the peace offering. Yeah. What can anybody do to you? What can you possibly be afraid of? That it's the last offering of all the typical offerings during the day. Accordingly, it's the last to be apprehended. It's the most important thing in the universe for us to grasp. Now, every word I've said to you tonight, I said in December of 1989. Before we open the
way. We have tapes.
Huh?
We have notes. We have tapes. We can prove.
Did you have to throw that in?
Yeah, you didn't say those words.
Attached to that, you idiots.
That's why we have to handle it.
It's like...
You said... You were attached to the tonight. I was going to
say...
I didn't know we'd lost the battle.
It was only 1 7-year cycle ago.
I have those notes.
We are now fed on the food that you know not of, and by it we obtain the peace that passes all understanding. You see how maybe it all might fit together?
Heaven may have us the truth.
Huh? Heaven may have us the truth. And he goes on in Revelation 21, he says, "And I saw no temple therein. The Lord God Almighty and the Lamb are the temple of it. And the city had no need of the sun, neither of the moon nor the stars to shine in it, for the glory of God did lighten it, and the Lamb is the light thereof. And the people of them which are saved shall walk in the light of it, and the kings of the earth do bring their glory and honor into it. And the gates of it shall never be shut at all by day or night, for there shall be no night there. And they shall bring the glory and honor of the nations into it. And there shall in no wise enter into it anything that defileth. Whatsoever worketh abomination or maketh a lie, they that are written in the Lamb's Book of Light. And he showed me a pure river of water of life, clear as crystal, proceeding out of the throne of God and of the Lamb, and in the midst of the street of it, and on either side of the river, was there the tree of life, which bare 12 manner of fruit, and yielded a fruit every month. And the leaves of the tree, or the fruit of the tree, were for the healing of the nations. And there shall be no more curse. But the throne of God and of the Lamb shall be in it, and his servant shall serve him. They shall see his face, and his name shall be on their foreheads, and there shall be no night, and they need no candle, neither the light of the sun. For the Lord God giveth them light, and they shall reign forever and ever. I promise you that you can't ever understand the book of Revelation without eating a peace offering. It can't be done. But once you taste the peace offering, and the book of Revelation explodes. Because it's talking about now. Made you hungry for the peace offering?
Yeah, very food.
Good.
Wait, Barbara, I'm sorry she missed tonight.
This may be the best Bible study we've ever had.
I know, and I've got to say it.
This one and the one back in 89 is good, too.
I've got that tape, too.
Could you walk right back to December 22nd after the morning?
Give me 30 seconds, I'll be back here with it.
You're amazing.
No, I'm not.
Anybody have any response or any sec?
I feel safe.
I shall not fear what man shall do unto me. I shall never again ask the people that are in my charge to be my covering. I shall never again gain sustenance from self-justification or the encouragement of it.
Or spend too much time.
See, that's the example of coffee.
This is good stuff.
You know, everything fits. Keeps you could just keep talking. Eventually, talk about all of the Bible. starting anywhere.
No, but you can talk about it
like pools of water, and it would just, you know.
Yeah, but you can talk about everything new from the standpoint of the peace offering. And when you see the peace offering, you'll see it throughout the scriptures. A place you look in Genesis, you'll see it. You'll see it all over the place. Do you remember how the first time we studied groves and everybody never heard of it, and then you started looking and it's groves were everywhere?
It's an amazing book.
But what amazes me is why this isn't taught or known. Or it just bugs me when I try to find some references, you know, it's just because you know it's true.
Look at all the books about it get burned and stuff.
And all the guys that talk about it get killed.
How does stuff get out?
Probably God's the one that does it.
Probably. This is terrible. But this flaming sword shows up and whack.
Yeah. You talk about it before it's time.
We'll talk about the offering before it's time.
Praise the Lord. But can you see why praise is something much more than we've ever thought it was?
Much more better.
Everything's much more than we ever thought it was.
Can you? Yeah, but the idea of having this little
let's all praise
hunts
the Lord
of protoplasm running around saying, oh God, you're worthy. He's up there saying, you dumb fucks.
I feel like we haven't even filled out the application to get an appointment to take the exam or to try and get an appointment to Starfleet Academy.
Anyway, that's that place of always needing the peace offering for your sustenance is the real definition of humility, by the way.
Yeah.
I'm starting to see what you said about, never about being a weakness.
Yeah. I mean, it's like I used to make up these little cliches when I used to make up these one-liners for the television, I loved it because I used to make up one-liners. This one-liner, I'm fulfilled as I fulfill others. What happens to me is unimportant as long as I meet your need.
A prototype crossfire spot.
Yeah, that's what it was. It was a first. But they were... They're true.
But they're unconnected to anything. They're just sitting, floating out there.
Yeah.
Happiness.
But they're no... The idea of... that I need to be fulfilled because somebody else... I meet somebody else's need. That makes me want to gag now.
Mother Teresa.
What?
Sounds like something Mother Teresa.
Yeah.
Actually, it sounds like some PR man would say something.
Some spin doctor.
Probably she would.
Anyway, this
I am therefore I spin.
This offering here.
I buy it. I spin therefore I am. Yeah.
This offering stuff is good stuff.
Yeah.
Tasty.
Yeah, it's like. for all the times you've said it, I don't think I ever before tonight. I can say it, but that I bought that. That what you are and what you do is weakness, you know, when you're so hard, and on some of them. But I mean, I can see that. I can see what it is. All it is a hunger for the peace offering, and all that you're really doing, and all that we need to do is, it's like it's a hunger to eat the peace offering with that other person, and not to be satisfied with anything else, not to allow any other table to be shared. Because that's really all the people are all trying to do all the time. It's like, eat this with me, eat this with me, and they're trying to get you to validate whatever table they're eating at.
So where you get the saying from your mother or somebody that says, put that down and you spoil your dinner.
Yeah.
You keep whapping people, and then somebody over there is picking up something. Because you want everybody to sit down and eat the piece of
right dinner. Yeah.
And you can't starve until everyone is seated.
Yeah. But the problem is it's like herding a herd of mice. We don't like to be herded, just scattered every day.
Yeah. And it's against the law to put a harness on them.
Yeah. Hey, look at little kids now when they're at the oral stage. They got to put everything in their mouth. They pick everything up and put it in their mouth.
It's got to be a mice that decide they want to come to the table without you having to lure them there.
Can't put them in a scale.
You can't even talk to them about how good the food is.
It's like the Mormons. No, it's the Masons where they can't.
You can't talk to them.
Can't evangelize the way.
I tell you that.
But if you bring it up, they can talk. That's not really like
Mormon Masons.
Now they recruit. They're desperate.
I was recruited by the Masons.
Me too.
But it was because I think it was because my uncle was one.
Because you're Norwegian.
Because you're tall and had a deep voice.
No more sloth.
Yeah, this is not, I can understand sloth, but this is about sloth. A lot of stuff I've never been able to comprehend fully, sloth.
This makes it clear.
Yeah, this clears up all the sloth.